It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll learn about the new He for She campaign launched by the United Nations. Harry Potter co-star Emma Watson made a splash with a big speech on the topic before the UN.
First, what is the best way to prevent unwanted teen pregnancies? Well, the majority of teenagers use condoms as their primary form of birth control. But this week, the American Academy of Pediatrics, or AAP, updated their guide to adolescent contraception, and condoms are not their top choice anymore.
For the first time, they're suggesting that long-acting contraceptives like intrauterine devices, known as IUDs, or progestin implants, be the first line of pregnancy prevention. These devices implanted in the body can prevent pregnancy for between 3 and 10 years.
Here to talk about the reasoning behind the new guidelines is Gina Succato, Director of Teen Services at Group Health in Seattle. She's also a co-author of the American Academy of Pediatrics Guidelines for Adolescent Contraception, out this week. Gina, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you. Nice to be here.
So how big a sea change is this recommendation to move toward implantable devices like IUDs?
I think it is really an appreciation of what has become growing knowledge about the increased effectiveness and ease of use of long-acting reversible methods of contraception, often referred to as LARCs. You know, how much more effective and how much easier they are to use with adolescents and women of all ages, actually. So I think there has been movement in this area along these lines for a while, and I think what we really did as an organization is bring together the evidence for this and made it a formal recommendation to our membership.
Now, condoms were the contraception of choice previously, as I understand it, for sexually active teens, and they're all over the place. You can find them at college infirmaries, bars. You can order them, in some cases, free online. Why not condoms as the top choice here?
Yeah, that's not actually how I would frame this, actually. The American Academy of Pediatrics has always recommended dual method use, so condoms have always been recommended and continue to be recommended with every sexual act for adolescents because they are the only method other than abstinence that really prevents sexually transmitted infections. The difference is really that instead of an emphasis on birth control pills and patches and rings and Depo-Provera, the emphasis is really on the LARCs, the long-acting reversible contraceptions, implants, and IUDs. But the condom message really has not changed every act for adolescents.
How successful are long-acting contraceptives compared with a condom if someone is using solely a condom for contraception?
There's really no comparison. Long-acting reversible contraceptions are as effective as tubal ligations. They have less than a 1% failure rate, and that 1% failure rate relates to both perfect and typical use. In other words, once an implant or an IUD is inserted, it's really a method that you sort of obtain and then can forget about with a very, very, very high effectiveness rate. And data have really started to show how drastically they can decrease the pregnancy and abortion rate among adolescents.
And you mentioned abstinence a few moments ago. Is that part of the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendations as well?
Of course, yes, absolutely. Pediatricians really want to support young people in making healthy decisions for themselves and also want to be there to support their health when they make decisions that perhaps would not be the pediatrician's first choice for them, might not be their parents' first choice for them. But for those young people who choose to be sexually active as healthcare providers, we really want to do everything we can to protect their health.
It somehow seems like a bigger deal to get an implantable device in a teenager, even though they may be sexually active. Can you make the case that this is perfectly reasonable?
Yes. I think probably the best way to make that case is that for young people, it is rare that if they were to plan a pregnancy, that they would plan it to be in the next 3, 5, or depending on their age, even 10 years. And these are devices that they can come in and get and be protected from an unintended and early pregnancy with all of the ramifications that that has for both mother and baby and often the rest of the family system for years down the line.
Now, for those who may not be familiar with what we're talking about, the IUDs or progestin implants, in a nutshell, how do they work?
So the progestin implants are a newer version and a much changed version of what people may have been familiar with a number of years ago called Norplant. So it is a single rod system as opposed to the Norplant, which was five. It's a single rod about the size of a wooden matchstick that fits in the upper arm and releases a high dose of progestin. That's one of the two hormones that you normally find in oral birth control pills. Oral birth control pills have a progestin and an estrogen. These rods have just a progestin, and they have a high enough dose to prevent ovulation.
Now, with something that's not as simple as a condom, are there worries about side effects?
There are side effects, really, of all of the methods that we use, the implantable methods, the IUDs, as well as pills, patch, and rings, and depo. And I think the key to thinking about this is not to compare what the side effects may be compared to not doing anything, but compare them to the side effects that might occur during a pregnancy, because that's really the time when we're recommending that these be used first choice, is when young people are trying to prevent pregnancy. Unprotected sex over the course of the year, you know, 80% of people having unprotected sex over the course of the year will get pregnant, compared to less than 1% using a long-acting reversible contraceptive method. And pregnancy is a far riskier health proposition, not addressing any of the psychosocial outcomes. Pregnancy is a much riskier health proposition for women than any of the birth control methods currently available in our country.
Now, this issue does make its way into politics. Just this week in the Colorado campaign for governor, the Republican candidate effectively called IUDs equivalent to a chemically induced abortion. How do you see it as a misconception? What would you like to clear up about that, if so?
Sure. Let's talk about IUDs and how they work. So there are two main types of IUDs. There are those that have a small amount of hormone, again, a progestin in them, and then there are those that are made out of copper. The copper IUD, it's been found, people are still a little unclear as to the mechanism as far as I understand it, but the copper ions basically prevent capacitation of the sperm. They basically make it so that the sperm cannot fertilize the egg. And that's the main method by which it works. The main method by which the progestin only the progestin IUDs work is that the progestin, as with, for example, the mini pill, create a mucus plug in the opening to the cervix, the cervical os, which prevents sperm from entering. There are also theoretically effects on the lining of the uterus with both these types of IUDs, which theoretically could prevent a fertilized egg from implanting. This is not thought to be the primary mechanism of either type of IUD, and the medical definition of a pregnancy is when a fertilized egg implants in the uterus.
We're speaking with Dr. Gina Succato. She's director of teen services at Group Health in Seattle, and she's co-author of the new American Academy of Pediatrics Guidelines for Adolescent Contraception. They came out this week. For the first time, they advise long-lasting contraception like IUDs as a main line of preventing unwanted teen pregnancy.
And we'd like to hear from you about this one at 800-642-1234. What do you make of these new guidelines? Would you want your teenage children to use them? And has your child use them? Are they considering it? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're back with Gina Succato, Director of Teen Services at Group Health in Seattle and co-author of the American Academy of Pediatrics Guidelines for Adolescent Contraception out this week. For the first time, they advise long-lasting contraception like IUDs as the first line of defense when it comes to unwanted teen pregnancy. She's saying also they should be used in conjunction with condoms.
We'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think about these new guidelines? Have you used long-term contraceptives like IUDs or progestin and implants, and would you want your teen daughter using them? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We've got Tracy on the line in Milwaukee. Tracy, hi.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good. What do you think about this?
Well, I've used an IUD myself, and it was wonderful. But I remember my doctor saying that it was really for people who were had one partner. And so I wonder with teenage girls, you know, just not that they're going to have further partners, but likely multiple partners. And wouldn't that be a risk for potential infections, things like that?
Tracy, thanks for the call. Dr. Succato, is that a recommendation that might be IUDs without condoms that might have led to that, or is this a common recommendation?
It is no longer a common recommendation, but for a long time it was. I think the concern for infection was that the increased risk of cervical infections like gonorrhea and chlamydia, which are more likely in people who have multiple partners, would be a greater risk to women who had a foreign body in the uterus like an IUD. What we have subsequently found is that if people get an infection like an STD when they have an IUD in place, we can treat the infection, and as long as the infection clears, they can keep their IUD in place. That's true even if they have a more serious version of an STD called pelvic inflammatory disease, where there's actually multiple microbes in the uterus. In most cases, we have found, and this wasn't previously known, we have found that we can treat with antibiotics and keep that IUD in place. So that was the caller. Tracy is absolutely correct. That was for a long time the standard recommendation, but we now know that it is safe to use IUDs in women who have more than one partner. But, of course, as we do with all teenagers, we urge condoms. And I usually take this as an opportunity to counsel my patients. I tell all my patients to use condoms, but you really, really need to. You have a foreign body in your uterus.
Okay, well, thank you for that call, Tracy. And we're going to go next to Nancy joining us in Baraboo. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I have a 15-and-a-half-year-old daughter, and I'm very excited to learn that these long-term birth control methods are now recommended for teens. I've always been very open with my daughter about becoming sexually active, and she knows that when she's ready to take that step, although I'm hoping it still won't be for a year or three, that she can come to me and that I will take her to her doctor and get her on birth control. My question is that I have read that the implant is good for about 3 years. How do you know exactly how long it does last and when you need to get a new one?
Okay, great question, Nancy. Thank you so much for sharing with us. About 3 years, so how precise do we have to be and how do we know?
Nancy, good question. Most of the longer-term devices are good, effective for longer than what the minimum recommended of years is. So we know if you get it out in 3 years that she will have adequate protection during that 3 years. I think people say about 3 years is because there probably are a lot of people who would have sufficient hormone levels to still protect them from pregnancy for longer than that. However, since it's variable, we always say after 3 years, it's time to replace that implant. So the about language you might have heard people mention, probably because there is a recognition that for many people they may be good longer, but there is absolutely no recommendation to leave them in for longer than 3 years and expect them to work. And Nancy, congratulations on the open relationship you have with your daughter. I'm sure that will help her protect her health and be safe.
Nancy, thanks for that call. Eileen in Lancaster called in to raise the concern that, okay, if a teen is using an IUD, they'll think, great, I'm set, I'm protected, I don't need condoms. Is this something that could potentially lead teens to be less likely to use condoms and not get that protection from STDs?
You know, I think that's a real concern, and it's a concern which has been raised for many years when teens switch to the more effective hormonal methods like birth control pills and Depo. I think many of us do share the concern that when teens enter a more stable relationship where they're more frequently sexually active, transition to a more effective method of pregnancy prevention, that there is a concern that they may be less likely to use condoms. And I think that we really need to be vigilant as healthcare providers, as parents, as other health educators, to really persist in this message that there's really two different recommendations. One is for sexually transmitted infection protection, and one is for contraception for preventing pregnancy. And with the IUD and the implant, just as with the birth control pills that people have been using for 50 years in our country, it remains the AAP's very strong recommendation that adolescents use condoms every time they have sexual intercourse.
Gina, one more quick question for you as we wrap up here. Is there concern that this puts the burden on girls for preventing pregnancy on teenage girls and not expecting their partners, men, to play a role in contraception?
Unfortunately, I think the answer to that question is yes. It has always been yes and will continue to be yes until we have other more effective male methods in addition to the latex and other materials of condoms. It does, but I would say that given that the stance towards condoms has not changed, the other hormonal methods have always been the responsibility of women, and this is a much easier and more effective method for them to have at their disposal.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Saccato.
My pleasure.
We've been speaking with Dr. Gina Saccato. She's Director of Teen Services at Group Health in Seattle. She's co-author of the American Academy of Pediatrics Guidelines for Adolescent Contraception out this week, focusing, among other things, on long-lasting contraception like IUDs as the first line of defense against pregnancy for sexually active teens.